Hello, and welcome to another episode of Intuitive Conversations. I'm Tamara Franz.
And I'm Chantel Neufeld.
And today we're going to be chatting about something that often comes up in our conversations, which is processing religious upbringing. As has probably been evident in some of our conversations before, both of us have grown up in this area of southern Manitoba, which is quite conservatively religious. And so we're going to start by sharing our different experiences and then let the conversation unfold. And depending how much we have to say, it may be more than a one-part conversation. We'll see what happens.
All right. So a brief overview of my upbringing. So I was raised in a homeschool cult, which is ATI, Advanced Training Institute, run by Bill Gothard. You know, a very specific set of rules. What I feel made it a cult was that people thought of the leader as a god, like who could, you know, come up with new beliefs and ideas, and then the followers just accepted it blindly. And then when I was a teenager, we also went to a local independent fundamental Baptist church where the leader was also quite cultish. If we left, we were shunned. If we questioned, we were, you know, ostracized. And, and just in my home alone, like, so many, beliefs were just so fear-based, I guess. And, I've definitely had to deconstruct and also regenerate, what I actually believe as an adult versus what I was raised with.
Mm-hmm. My experience was quite different, but in some ways we connect with many different aspects. I grew up in a family with a father who was a pastor. In the earlier years, he was a teacher in a Bible college. That was a bit of a different prospect than being a pastor's daughter. And we lived in a small city in Saskatchewan where the Mennonite presence wasn't really that strong, and so we went to church and were a part of that whole community. But at school, I experienced a variety of different backgrounds and so forth. And then at the age of 13, we moved here to southern Manitoba, which was quite a huge culture shock for me, just in terms of the level of conservatism and the fundamentalist beliefs around us. And I think as a fairly intuitive, empathic person, I unknowingly perceived a lot of the fear-based belief systems around me and reacted in ways that I didn't understand. And the upshot of all of that is by the time I left high school, I had lost my singing voice, which at the time I didn't really make a connection. But as I've gone through life, it's become a very strong understanding about the place of a woman in a conservative religious culture and what happens to someone who has a strong voice, who has a truth to speak, and how you choke it back and how that affects you psychologically. And then as a young adult, I ended up moving to Montreal, which was about the most polar opposite of southern Manitoba that you can find, where you have a culture that was predominantly Catholic. And then in the 50s and 60s, people kind of streamed away from the Catholic Church and became more or less an agnostic society. And so looking back at my own upbringing and my own culture from that side of the fence really made me aware of a lot of things that I just hadn't realized, because your culture tends to be the air you breathe. And until you step outside of it and look from a different perspective, there are a lot of things that you just don't question and don't even realize. And so as an adult, there has been a lot of processing around my experience. And I guess when 9/11 happened and the aftermath of that, and especially when the U.S. went to war against Iraq, right around the time that I was giving birth to my youngest child, and the struggle for myself to understand what was going on in the world and just why people go to war over flimsy reasons, and the world lets it happen, and children are brought into a world where there's so much violence and hatred, and why religion hasn't been able to solve those problems. There was a lot of soul searching. I did a lot of writing, poetry, and so on to try to understand that. And that was just part of my journey into reclaiming the sacred feminine and bringing that into my experience. And then now living back in Southern Manitoba to try and struggle to find my own place. And to know that if I articulate where I'm at in my spiritual journey, there isn't going to be support from a lot of quarters. There's going to be a certain level of judgment. And so certain parts of me I still don't bring out very strongly, just out of fear that it will clash with the predominant culture around me. And so they're still processing. I think that's a lifelong piece.
Mm-hmm. And when we're processing, like there was this book that we both read recently, the book called Educated by, what's her name? Tara Westover.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, it was just, I don't know, like we found ourselves relating to her story in different ways. Like obviously the details of her story were more extreme and in a different setting, but a lot of the things, were similar. For myself, I could relate to her growing up with a narcissistic dad and a codependent mom, growing up with not knowing what mood they would be in and having to, navigate that in order to stay safe, having all different kinds of abuses and being made to work more when you should have been, or in school or educated. Mm-hmm. Like the whole book is called Educated, and like how the parents were so against like the medical system. I could relate to that. How the parents were against like college or public school. I could relate to that. And just her journey out, like how she kept trying to get out and it was such a struggle, and then when she finally did get out and then being out in the world trying to adapt, and then also the few attempts to come back home and like how dangerous it felt, and it's just a really gripping can't put it down story, which reminds me of one of Tamara's favorite things in the world, the hero's journey. Do you want to speak a little about
Well, we were just having a conversation journey. About that before we came into our recording time. Just thinking about our various experiences, and I have to say that when I read Educated, my experience was very different in the sense that I had very loving, supportive parents who were, I would say, very progressive in comparison to the culture around us, where we did a lot of discussing and reading and talking about different things. But I was very aware as a pastor's child about how my actions would reflect on my family, how the community would perceive myself and my parents if I were to step out in any strange way. And so we were talking, because the hero's journey always comes up as the lens through which it's just the pattern that everyone lives by.
Every movie, every book, like
every mythology. And if you look at your own life, you will see these different stages of the hero's journey patterns showing up. We talked about the framework of the hero's journey as a way of just stepping back from our own experience. And we looked at Tara Westover's experience from the perspective of just this hero's journey that we're all on. If your own life were a novel, and you're the hero of your own novel, it's a little easier to interpret your experience without having to immediately rush into judgment about who's at fault or why did this happen, or you can take a larger view and just say, well, this was the point where I had a call to adventure, and this is the point where I had a trial, or these were the allies or these were the adversaries who really pushed me to grow. Looking at things from that perspective, you can get a little curious and kind of get away from falling into judgment or feeling like it has to be somebody's fault. Because even Tara Westover's parents, as strangely as they may come across in the book, or they may look like parents who were abusive or neglectful, you know, they're part of a whole chain of history, they're part of a culture, and their own fears and fear-based approach to life really colored the way they raised their kids and how they interacted with their kids. And so blaming and finding fault can feel helpful in the moment. And sometimes you need to go through that stage to sort of take yourself off the hook.
Yeah, right? A victim stage that I was in for a long time, and how I shifted to empowered was, you know, seeing that my parents were doing the best they could with what they knew, and, you know, this curiosity being like the solution for so many of life's problems, of like seeking to understand the situation, seeking what we can learn, seeking to understand why they did what they, you know, like this whole curiosity, or what story am I telling mm-hmm. myself? You know, what is the gift in this seemingly curse?
And that in itself can be a huge step moving into curiosity, because when you come from a religion based on fear, mm-hmm. which is, if I don't do the right thing, if God's going to judge me and send me to hell, you really do contract into fear. And so moving into curiosity is a huge opening, in the sense of it's very liberating to not have to feel like you were at fault or someone else was at fault, but just these were the dynamics.
Like, my parents were human. It brings out my compassion to see that they were just fearful. You know, that's why.
Yeah. And for me, getting past the guilt of my parents were so loving and caring, and, you know, the church was everything to them. They invested their lives in serving the church and serving others. And just that guilt that I haven't carried that forward, maybe in the way that they would have dreamed for me. You know, that this is just the novel that we're in, and this is where the storyline is taking us. And it doesn't have to be a right or a wrong, but it's just, isn't this fascinating?
Mm-hmm. I love the story that you told me last time we got together about the soldier, the loyal soldier. It just ties in so much to everything that we've been talking about.
Well, we didn't talk about that, did we, on the tape?
No, the loyal soldier? I don't think we've told her.
So you are so much into parts therapy, and the protector parts that find ways to shield us and help us fit in and belong and find a place in our social systems. Bill Plotkin is the one who defined the loyal soldier, and he's a depth psychologist. And it comes out of the World War II history in Japan, where they had these soldiers stationed on islands and forgot about them, so that when the war was over, it was a number of years before these soldiers were remembered. And when they went back to collect them from these islands where they had been stationed, they thought the war was still ongoing. So they were there at their posts, and they were doing their utmost, and it was handled in such a sensitive way in Japanese culture. It was so very different from the American soldiers who came back from Vietnam, because Vietnam became the war that America lost, and the soldiers were not treated like heroes when they came back, and they were maimed, and they were damaged, and nobody wanted to acknowledge them, and they were kind of shoved aside. But these Japanese soldiers were welcomed, there were parades, and they were told, you have done a noble service, and now you can retire from active duty, and we're going to reassign you. And so your own loyal soldier is that inner protector guardian that found ways to shield you from disapproval and help you fit in by maybe compromising parts of yourself, or hiding parts of yourself that you were afraid wouldn't be accepted. But as you grow into adulthood, that loyal soldier isn't needed anymore. You know, you develop your personality structure to the point where you can handle those situations, and you can decide who you want to be. So fighting against the loyal soldier that wants to put you back into that mode of protectiveness doesn't help. Instead, you can talk to your loyal soldier and say, thank you so much for serving me when I needed you. When I was a child and couldn't protect myself, you gave me these coping mechanisms. But now as an adult, I've got this now. The war is over. So I'm going to reassign you, and then finding a creative way to to put your loyal silver to work for you in another way.
And we all have these parts of ourselves that are inner child parts that are stuck on that island, still thinking that there's a war, still thinking that, you know, going by this coping strategy to try to protect themselves. And we get to choose how we react to them. Are we going to be like the Americans who, when the soldier came there, who were, you know, like, they were not validated, they were not appreciated, they were not understood? Or are we going to be towards ourselves like the Japanese, where we welcome those soldiers who were just trying their best there fighting on the island, like, welcome them and thank them for their service? And in parts therapy, I find that those parts are transformed, those coping strategies, those behaviors we don't like about ourselves. When we can welcome them, understand them, and love them, they can be transformed, and it can turn into something beautiful. They can be given a new job as soldiers, you know, a more useful job, because, you know, they don't need to fight anymore.
Mm-hmm. We talked about when Tara Westover would go back to her family, and especially with a resolve to confront an older sibling that had been abusive towards her, how the family would completely gaslight her. And it was like trying to stand on shifting sand, and the reality that you thought you had experienced all of a sudden was evaporating in front of your eyes. And then she would just shift back into sort of the dutiful daughter who kind of knuckled under to this older brother. I know for me, the loyal soldier kind of showed up in the sense of I would just sort of choke back my truth and hide the parts of me that really wanted to explore. Because at heart, I think I'm a spiritual adventurer. And I was once told, you're an edge walker. I'm not afraid of experience of exploring the spiritual frontiers, but always coming back into a culture that felt very conservative and religious and judgmental. I was afraid of making people afraid of me just by the things that I was exploring and talking about. So in some ways, maybe it's lifelong work to reassign our loyal soldiers. I think it's worthwhile work.
And that's a good thing, too. Like, it took so much pressure off of me to not think that I had to be perfect, or, like, I used to think that perfect people existed, and that if I only did such and such, I could attain that level of perfection. But we're all on this journey. We're all evolving. We're all growing through struggle. And it's like we're leveling up in a game. That's how I see it sometimes. Like, and it's a good thing. Systems are shifting in the world right now after COVID. And even though the struggle is terrible, it's a good thing that these systems are shifting, because they were outdated, and, you know, the religious church thing is one of those systems that I think is shifting, and it's a good thing people are asking questions and, you know, making their spirituality into something that works for them, because it's such a personal experience. I don't feel like it's something that should be dictated to you of how you should live and be, and, you know, like,
yeah. So I think you know, so many people in this neck of the woods are coming to terms with religious upbringing and how it shaped them, and I would say out of this conversation, maybe a first step is just making that shift into curiosity. Isn't that interesting? Looking back on some experiences and just looking at it from that standpoint of curiosity.
Yeah, and the glasses that I would put on is the perspective of switching from fear to love. Mm-hmm. Because every struggle I go through, I find myself having to do that. Like, when I step out of it and look at it from a different perspective, it is a fear. You know, I'm stuck in fear. And then when I switch to love, it really solves the issue. When I get into that curious understanding, seeking to understand, acceptance, like, that's what therapy is all about, and that's what we can do in our everyday lives, is, you know, look at our parts and meet them with that love, compassion, and understanding. And then when we do that for ourselves, we can also do that for other people.
Great. I think that's a great place to stop.
So yeah, thank you for joining us, and until next time, keep following your heart song.